Well, I see my good friend Nick Kyprios has got a new thing going, Tim. I don't quite understand it. I read it and I did.
Well, he's got a new show coming out. He's calling it Real Kipper, and he goes live at noon on YouTube, and then I guess they're recording it, and then they're also going out on all the different podcasts like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and stuff like that. So he's going to go out, and it sounds like he's going to get Doug McLean back. And
Were really good.
They did. What was it? Hockey Central.
Hockey Central. It's on. It's still on.
Yeah, and they were on the because they did radio first, right?
I don't know. They used to be when McLean used to come in Fridays. He was always there.
Yeah.
One of the things that McLean didn't like about it, he had to leave Prince Edward Island. He loves Prince Edward Island.
Well, this one they could call in, right? So he's doing it. So, I want to wish him good luck.
I hope he does good luck. And I remember when he was on, he was a real hustler. He hustled water. He sold water.
A lot of people don't know, Dad, though, that when Nick was in junior hockey, he was a real goal scorer.
Here's the deal with fighting. Is that I found out in fighting is that you have to know how to fight. It's not enough. He had a heart of a lion. He really did. He did. And then he got to the National Hockey League, and I don't know what happened. They turned him into a checker or something, but he couldn't score. So he thought, well, I better do something to stay in the National Hockey League. Got to do something. That's the thing, big thing in the National Hockey League. You got to do something. You can either score or do something. So he took up fighting, and that is a dangerous thing when you don't know really how to fight. Like I fought when I was in junior. In fact, the very last game we won the Memorial Cup, I got a goal. I remember that. And I remember I had a pretty good fight. And
you said you got a Gordie Howe hat trick, didn't you?
I don't know, an assist in a fight? Yeah, it wasn't much of a fight. It was okay. It was a fight, the guy. And I remember the coach of St. Boniface Canadians. I think we played in Winnipeg. And it was Brian Hextall. It was Brian Hextall's dad. And I was going to go after him and the whole... I mean, I must have been...
So many people would say that's the goalie for Philly. Ron Hextall's great-grandfather, right?
Yeah, that sounds like that. Anyhow...
It was his grandfather.
Grandfather.
It was the goalie, which is Ronnie Hextall, who you used to play. Do you remember in Rochester?
I remember, yeah.
Brian Hextall.
You used to play goalie with him down in the basement when we were in Rochester. That'd be his grandfather,
okay.
Anyhow, getting back to Nick.
But you were saying, though, Dad, didn't you do something at the end of the game to Mr. Hextall at the challenge him in a fight or something?
Oh, boy, he was...
Who ever heard of this one, folks?
No, this is ridiculous. We're happy, eh? We won the Memorial Cup and the whole deal. And Brian Hextall, he was still ticked off at the fight or something. He was still on the bench, and I was skating by, and I challenged him to a fight. I must have been nuts. I was only 17 at the time. Yeah, he was just giving me heck. But anyhow, getting back to Kyprios. Kyprios was a 50-goal scorer. He was really good in junior. He was drafted, and he went to the National Hockey League as a goal scorer. And then he saw he couldn't, I don't know what happened. He lost the touch or something. And he really turned into a fighter. Well, you don't turn into a fighter. You better learn when you're young how to get your legs and have the whole deal. And I remember Van de Bush did a number on him, knocked him cold, and we fell down. And I remember the blood. You remember the blood?
Yeah, he knocked him right through an uppercut, wasn't it?
I forget what it was. But I'll tell you about story about Van de Bush. His dad sent me a tape, and in the letter it said, my son is going to be in the National Hockey League, and he's going to be a heavyweight champion, and he was 6'3". But Nick had a heart of a lion. He'd take on anybody, eh?
Yeah, but you did a little article on Bob Probert, and funny, same thing happened when you were at a New Jersey game at a morning skate.
Troy Crowder, I'm at a morning skate, and Troy Crowder, I remember this great big guy walking in front of me, and he said, yeah, I'm playing in Utica now, and he says, I'm playing in the American Hockey League, but I'll be in the National Hockey League, and I'm as tough as Probert. I said, yeah, so I started laughing. I said, sure you are, kid. By golf, 2 years later, him and Probert. Probert wasn't ready, eh?
No, well, we remember we had Bob Probert on the Grapevine show, and he never wore tie downs. And you asked him, why didn't you wear tie downs?
And
he said, I keep forgetting to put them on. That's what he was just joking.
Yeah, but you know,
and that's what happened in that fight. The first one, Crowder got to, you know, got the sweater over him and cut him.
Well, it must have been tough on Bob Probert. Every guy that was a real good fighter, they had to be a real good fighter to do what you did, wanted to go with him because he, and it's true, in the old days, if you beat Probert, if you played Probert, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you one thing, you were pretty good. Bobby Probert was one of those guys that when guys that come up to him, I know, I talked to Probert about it, he said, look, I have to make a name here. I've only going to got a couple of games. How about you and I going?
Well, that's like you said, like Troy Crowder was 2 years, was waiting in the weeds to get his chance to fight Bob Probert.
And he wasn't ready. You know, maybe some days you just don't feel like fighting.
That's like a new gunslinger, eh, Dad, coming to town?
Yeah.
Going to take on the older guys?
Well, again, Vanderbush. He was ready to, and Kiprios had, you know, he was the tough, supposedly tough guy with the Rangers, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, New York.
If you don't know what you're doing in a fight, and I remember one time, I think nobody in the history of the world got hit, well, maybe Moore, but we saw Moore and Foreman the other day.
Foreman Moore, the boxing, yeah.
Maybe he did, but I was tied up, I'll never forget this.
So you were saying this is the hardest you ever got hit.
Nobody in the history of fighting in hockey got hit harder than I get hit. And what happened is it was in Rochester, just stupid, eh? Because I used to get the drop on guys. And this time I fought honestly. I was 30-some years old. I'd lost the desire or something anyhow. And I got tied up, and I'll never forget the linesman. I've been hit quite a few times. I guess as you can tell by this show. But and you know what? I got tied up by John Rattel. Chantrell. And the other guy was long. I forget his first name. I think it was Ed. He had his left hand tied up, but he never had his right hand tied. And he had so much time.
Who was it?
Dennis Hextall. He had so much time that he smiled because he knew he had me. And I knew he had me, and there's nothing I could do about it. I couldn't get away from this John Rattel. He was sitting on my back almost. And he, I turned my head and tucked my jaw in because if he hits me in the jaw, it's all over. And he hit me in the eye, and boy, he cut me. You can't believe how he cut me. And
do you remember how many stitches?
I forget. I think it was 18 stitches. It was a beauty. You could look in and see my eye. Oh, yeah.
Well, I can I was at that game. And it's something to see as a little girl to see your dad in a fight like that and then afterwards and all. But fast forward to now you're coaching the Boston Bruins.
Oh, well, that's another story.
And Dennis Hextall, Dennis Hextall is now in the National
Detroit.
He's in the National Hockey League, and you're coaching the Bruins. And I always used to like to go to the games because it was against Dennis Hextall, because I knew that you were going to have the guys. I knew Dennis Hextall was going to have a hard time.
No, I would
you
never.
You never told him to go after
never,
him. But there was
never.
A reason that he hit Doki one time, right?
What happened was Gary Doak from Goderich, Ontario, for some reason, don't ask me why, he was going. I remember the play. He was going, and he turned back. I don't blame Hextall. He just kept on coming. And boy, did he ever do a number on. He broke his nose.
Well, he really, he cracked his orbital bone, broke his nose. Like, he really hurt Doki.
And I remember going up Doki in the dressing room. I said, what the? You'd turn it back. All he was doing was riding out. It was unbelievable. And the blood was pouring out of him. And I remember, for some reason, he had a big belt. He was doing up his belt. He's taking him to the hospital. That's how bad he was. And so I tell the players, don't say a word. Just say it's part of the game. Don't be whining, you know, going to the league and all that stuff. Because that's what I'm saying. Part of the game. Gary Doak shouldn't have turned back in the whole deal. But I never said a word.
But really, when the players...
I swear, I never said a word.
You never said a word, but
never.
We sort of enjoyed it, watching it. I know
I
did, because I remember the old days in Rochester with that, when he did a number on you, and to see him get beat up every time he went into the Boston Gardens.
Yeah, it made me feel good.
It made me feel good, anyway.
Made me feel good, too.
Remember Stan got a hold of him in Washington.
Washington was... Every game, he played the Boston Bruins, because he did that to Gary Doak. because nobody did that to us, the Bruins. He had to fight somebody. He had to fight John Wensink, Stan Jonathan, Al Secord.
I think those were the. That's enough.
Yeah. Oh, Terry O'Reilly.
Terry
O'Reilly was the first guy.
Yeah. Al Secord.
And they're all about 6 foot two, and I never ever mentioned that he did a number on me.
Oh, you never told them that story?
Never told them that story because then it would.
Yeah.
Would
then they would go after him even more. Probably.
No, I don't even know if they would or not. They might have not, but they did a number on him. The last one, the very last game I remember, they had a Dennis Hextall and Stan Jonathan. Boy, Stan was John. He's a little Tuscarora, and boy, he was tough. An Iroquois. And was he tough? He wasn't. He had a big, big head and a big neck. He didn't have big arms, but he knew how to throw them. And I remember he got a 2 minute minor, 5 minute major, 10 minute misconduct, and a misconduct. Got thrown out of the game. And I remember John McCauley, God love him, was refereeing. So I said, "What happens? You do a pretty good job, and if you win the fight, you get life with you, eh?" He says, "Well, you don't have to worry about that. Your new plate, eh, Jerry?" He was quick as a... But anyhow, what were we talking about? Oh, about Nick Kyprios. And Nick...
Well, we'll go back to that fight where Hextall cut you for 18 stitches. And you and Mom went out after the game. Didn't faze you much, did it?
I remember I walked out, and every time... And she told me later, she said, as the guys walked by, they said, "Oh... He really got this, he's the guy." And I did get it. I got 18 stitches. It was a beauty. It was picking up pieces. So I was the last guy out, naturally, and I think you were there. Were you there?
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
And I remember your mother, she was so, what's the word? She was so used to fights or something, sitting way up high, eh?
Immune, I don't know. But
I think immune is the good thing.
Immune, I guess. And she said, and it was a beauty. And... She said, "I didn't know a fist could do that much damage." She watches movie guys in a fight for 15 minutes. There's not a cut on it. She did a number on it. She really didn't.
Wasn't that the weekend, too, you had to go to a funeral the next couple
had
days?
Had to go. You're absolutely right.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
My Uncle Bill.
Huge, huge black eye.
Oh, and I had glass sunglasses on because I didn't want my brother to see them.
And you had to go to a funeral. You had to drive to Kingston.
Yeah, and I remember my brother who could... Someday we'll talk about him. He was a black belt in judo. And so I remember, and he never said a word because I had sunglasses on the whole time. And so he walked up to the car and he put down the window. So I had Monte Carlo, that beautiful Monte, and I rolled the window down. And he said, "Next time, duck."
Well, I remember you, Cindy. I think you were telling the story that it was you. The cut was still seeping, and you guys went to the downtown and you had sandwiches, and you scared the waitress.
What happened was, it was still leaking. Like it come down the side, and it wouldn't stop leaking, and the blood was pouring down. So we used to go to the downtowner after John Sweet. And I remember all these names. John Sweet was the general manager who owned it, I guess. And he used to put on sandwiches, nice sandwiches, the crust cut off. I remember the crust was cut off. And there were serviettes there. So I, as they were drinking and everything, I should have went home and put ice on it. But anyhow, I was missing those sandwiches. So we had a few beers and everything. And I'm holding and get full of blood. I'd put it in. Awful. I should have just, I don't know what I should have.
So you were kind of soaking up the blood with the serviette.
Yeah, and I put it in the thing, and I remember the young waitresses at the waitress at the end, she went to pick up the basket, and here's this stuff all soaked in blood. She screamed. I never forgot it. But your mother was so used to fights, eh?
Well, this is it. I mean, this was the name of the game.
You were sitting high.
And so was I. I mean, you sort of get immune to it. And, I remember after every game, you come home, I would get the tea towels with the ice and used to ice your knee.
Yeah.
And that was the routine.
My ankle a lot, too.
Yeah, and that was the routine. You come home from work and you ice things, and that was the way,
that's how
you made a living.
Yeah, well, I remember I used to get hit in the ankles a lot, eh? Yeah. Boy, that's the worst of all.
I remember the story you tell all the time that I can't get over that you didn't. Is you said you were in a brawl in Quebec, and a guy hit you over the head with a stick.
Guy Gendron, I'll never forget it. I deserved everything I got. Kiki Mortson stepped into the box, and I drilled him. And now the police are really mad. Two big policemen, two French policemen, they're really mad because it makes them look bad, eh? Then they got me by the arms, and they held me up against the porch.
But let's just make it that you guys would sit in the same penalty box.
Yeah, well, it was a big penalty box, and he said it one another, and police would be between us and the whole deal. But as he stepped in, I was mad. Well, not mad, but I just thought that was a good time to drill him. So I drilled him. So they were really mad. Now, police, because they look bad, because they let this happen.
That's their job, is to separate
yeah,
the fighters.
Yeah, and guy should have not let me get up. So they got me by the arm, up against, and they, both arms, and I cannot move. They got, they're really strong. And there's a big fight in front of the penalty box and everything. And I see G. Gendron on the right side, and I know he's going to hit me over the head with a stick. I think it was G. Gendron, I better say, I think, the ledge, G. Gendron. So he went behind the thing, and the more I tried to get loose, the more the police put the pressure on me. And he hit me right over the head. Right over the head. And I was really, you know.
He didn't cut you or anything?
No, it didn't cut me. I turned. I knew how to deflect, but he hit me right over the head. And Jack Riley was going to suspend me. Jack Riley, who was the president, he's with Buttons, Jack Buttons.
Yeah, and that would have been the American League?
The American League. You were watching at home, weren't you, Cindy?
Yeah, we were watching
it. That was Christmas Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Forget
what it was around the holidays and everything. I remember it was on TV, and we were having a sort of a semi Christmas party with all the wives and the kids, and we were sort of also watching the hockey game on TV.
That was a big thing.
That was a big thing to televise a hockey, and your dad's on TV. That's big, and then to watch it and to see you in the middle of this.
And he went behind, and he had white tape, and you could, a lot of guys all wore black, but he had white tape on a stick. And you could see a stick come right over and hit me right over the head. And Jack Riley told me afterward he was really going to suspend me because I deserved to really be suspended. And the only reason I didn't give you a lot of games is because I saw him hit you over the head and you never mentioned it on radio or anything like that. They were going to mass. I think there was about 2 minutes left. And they were going to church. So I had a lot of fun when I was...
So was that the whole thing where... Was that... The whole thing where Bugsy Watson, was that funny?
Yeah, it must have been, I don't know, I forget. Bugsy Watson was another one. I was sitting on in the playoffs, we're getting off and I'm thinking, poor Nick, we're forgetting about Nick. Yeah. Anyhow, I remember it was in Quebec again. We were always playing in Quebec in the finals. And I wasn't playing much. In fact, I didn't play at all. And Al Arbour was benched with about 3-4 minutes to go. And he put me out. You know, I knew I wasn't out there to score 4 or 5 goals. So what happened was a guy, Bugsy Watson. What was his first name? I forget.
Wasn't it Brian?
Brian, yeah, Brian, yeah. And he was really doing a number on our forwards right in front. And so I went and stood in front, and he gave it to me pretty good. And down I go, and then I started to fight. And I don't know how Kiki Mortson got involved. Anyhow, it was a good fun. You know, I just thought of it just now. I was really in trouble like this. You know how you know what Joe Crozier did? I never forgot. He had me come in through all the people and buy a ticket to get in. Honestly. And
what's
I'm in amongst all these guys that are mad at me. I don't ask me why.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
What happened was, he said, instead of you coming in and all the press waiting for you on the bus, I want you to go, I'm going to drop you off in the front and go up and buy a ticket and come in. Hey, Joe Crozier, that's what he did. Oh, I didn't know, I didn't care. So he gave me the money to buy a ticket. I'm lined up and they knew who I was.
Was this like a game, the next game or?
Yeah, next game.
Oh, next game.
The next game. And you didn't wear helmets. You know, what a stupid thing to do.
So did you play?
So, no. Yeah, so now, I didn't play much. So now, I'm back in Rochester. If everybody got it, I've already been in trouble. We're back in Rochester, and all the crowd wants, because they saw the game.
Right.
They saw the game, and we want Cherry. We want Cherry. and I hadn't played for 2.5 games. And he put me out there with about 3 minutes to go. And I remember a guy named Red Berenson. A guy walked around because my legs were like lead and scored. Yeah, it was disappointing anyhow. We won the Memorial Cup or the American Hockey League.
Calder Cup.
And so anyhow, getting back to Nick, I hope wish him best of luck on his
His new adventure, and I'm sure he'll be good.
He was good on Sportsnet.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him and Doug, and I hope it's just him and Doug. You know what I mean?
Is Doug going to come up?
Well, I think so. Well, I don't know if he's going to go out. I mean, he could call in, right? You know, because it's one of those things. But they really did have something. They really had some magic.
Yeah, they were good. When I knew he was on, him and Doug McLean was really good, too. Well, he's coaching. I don't know if he's coached the year, but he was coach in Florida. And I remember we were sitting in the stands, and he was king back then. And he's walked by, and I said, "Don't falter." And he walked on. He said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Don't falter," because I said, "This is a tough business." Little did I know.
So I want to wish Nick all the best.
Good Nick. Hope you do good. You know, Tim, it's kind of funny the way the National Hockey League is right now. If a player is injured, say he pulls a groin or he hurts his wrist or something, and he doesn't play, first thing it comes to mind is the COVID. Is that what you call it, COVID-19 or something?
Yeah.
First thing you come in, does he have this or is he injured? Because the only player that's really been known, you know for sure, was Matthews, which is kind of unfair. But when a guy is injured, you were saying some of the Bruins.
I'm reading stuff on the Bruins websites and stuff from Boston, and some of the guys, they say unfit to practice. So you don't know what that means. You don't know, does that mean that they have COVID or have they been exposed to it? So that's what they think, that some of the guys that they say are unfit for practice, they don't have the virus, but they've been around somebody that has it, so they got to go into isolation for...
And you don't know.
You don't know, though, right?
If you're injured, you could be injured, and like I say, you have a Charlie horse or something, but he's got COVID, because you don't know. And there's a few stars that are out, but the only guy that, unfortunately, as I said earlier, the only guy that you really know for sure was Matthews.
Yeah, and he said he didn't have any symptoms. Said he, you know, like he said he had no idea that he was sick.
Well, that's like a lot of things. So you're a carrier, and
I guess all the only guys. I guess when you're young like that, you can. I didn't know that he didn't have any.
No, it was what they call it, asymptomatic of it. So
what's that?
They call it asymptomatic. So he didn't look like he had. You know, he didn't have the shortness of breath or fever or anything like that. So he didn't even know.
He was isolated, though, Abe.
Yeah, so he's practicing now. All the teams are, like, this is, we say we do the game, the podcast on Sunday, so all the teams are back on the ice.
There'll be a lot of groins and stuff like that, but I think this Stanley Cup will be the hardest of all Stanley Cups to win, and you're going to say, well, you kid? You know why? Because, first of all the injuries are back. There's most of them are back, 99% of all the injuries, and all the teams are going to be 100%. And so they started 10 o'clock, and I got it down here. I wrote it down. And they start at 10 o'clock, and then they go at 2. It is really going to be something.
Yeah, they say the first couple of days, 15 hours of hockey.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is that how about NBC? Bringing up all they want to do the Eastern time ones, eh?
Yeah. Do you want me to explain how that works?
Yeah, okay. Tell
us. Okay, so this is a little confusing, Cindy, but I'll explain how it works.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The NBC, this is coming up to do the games. So what they are doing is the NHL is taking control of what they call the host feed. So it's the basic feed that... it's like this is what they do in the Olympics. So it's the basic feed that goes out to both NBC and to Rogers. And then, but most of the guys, a lot of the guys that are going to be like producing it aren't from NBC, but a lot of the technicians are from Dome Production who are from Toronto. And then what happens is Roger takes the feed, and the NBC who shows it takes the feed. But then they have their own guys kind of working the thing. So, like, they have their own, and Rogers and NBC will have their own cameras there for a few, because they'll say, you know, coming out
that
of
that was a trade off, I guess.
Yeah, and then Edmonton, and then they're doing more stuff at Edmonton. So
no, wait, I'm quitting. What about in Edmonton?
It's the same. It's kind of the same thing. Like, so there's going to be one feed going out to both NBC and to Rogers or Sportsnet, I guess. And then they have guys like Shirelli will be there. You know, maybe I think it may be Shirelli directing. And because, like, if they come out of a commercial, NBC might say, well, we want to show, you know, we want to show so-and-so, the coach of Carolina. And they'll show them. And then Rogers might say, well, we want to see Austin Matthews. So they have a camera that can go on after Matthews. And then when the puck drops, then the game, then the coverage comes. It's the same coverage for both.
But it's the same announcers. And
yeah, I think they said they're going to have the announcers at the, well, Sportsnet will have their own announcers, and NBC will have their own announcers.
I thought Sportsnet, well, I don't understand it.
No, it's, Steve Simmons wrote it. It's a little misleading what he wrote. Sportsnet, well, you know, they'll be the same guys. Like, it'll be Houston and Simpson calling the games and stuff, yeah.
That's what we'll hear?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure. I mean, because it's like, as again, that's, they're kind of doing it like they do it in the Olympics.
What about the intermissions? Well, like,
no, there'll be Sportsnet will have their own thing. NBC will have their own. Won't notice the difference. Ron will be hosting. And
why is everybody upset?
I think it's just Steve Simmons was kind of stirring the pot a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's. Again, the head guys that are doing it are going to be from NBC, but again, it's the host feed that's going out to both networks, and then the networks can kind of control what they show and their own graphics and stuff.
So the game started August 2nd, eh?
Is it first or second? I don't know.
Yeah, second. Yeah. So it should be pretty good, and I think it's going to be tough. You know, I wonder if they're going to do the same as boxing. I mean, they're going to have the sound. They're going to have the music. They're going to.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I would have music. I mean, you don't want dead silence.
Yeah, like I was watching this. They have the soccer, right? Well, they had golf, but nobody watched. You don't hear golf anyway.
No.
But they had the soccer on, and they just had quiet.
Do they?
Yeah, they don't. They don't have anything. You can hear the players though, so they better be careful. Because, like, in soccer, you can hear the players yelling. And
remember Bobby Clark? Time we had Bobby Clark. Oh, I can't say what he said.
No.
But the very first time they had, and the National Hockey League had mics down by the penalty box, and he, as clear as a bell, I can't tell you what he said, but you could, it was the F word and a few other things thrown in. It was as clear as a bell. And from the penalty box, he stood and yelled it out. I remember that there. So, yeah, No, I think they're going to have music and everything. I don't know. I guess we have to wait and see. Yeah. They could have the crowd noise, which would be good, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just hope you know what I would like to do. Remember, I just hope sometimes they, you know, you turn off the, you just hear the game sounds. So you don't have to listen to the announcers.
Remember the guys over in Europe, the doing the Swedes.
We were over in World Tournament and. The announcer would just go, he'd be like this, Matthews, Marner. Like, he wouldn't give you play-by-play. He'd just tell you who had the puck.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like and if the guy make a good save, he'd go, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
If the guy make a real great save.
I love it on TV. Let me see. They tell you what you're just watching, then you watch the intermission, and then they tell you what you just saw.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I go, how many different ways can they dummy it down to watch sports on TV?
I remember over there, Cindy. The Americans were put out early. Remember, the Americans were put out early. And they were really acting. They were, you know, the Europeans and that, they don't cross-check. They don't, I mean, they don't fight or anything. And I remember, I said, Tim, let's go see the Americans play the Germans. And I said, I don't think the Germans will put up with that. And the very first drop the puck, the American took a cross-checked a German. I think he was German Canadian. Anyhow, yeah. He turned back and
just speared him.
He just speared the guy. I said, I told you they wouldn't take it.
That was, remember that game? That was just like, it was like a tong war.
Boy,
smashing sticks over one another.
Yeah, because they were both out, eh?
Now, is it wrong to say that that was entertaining hockey?
Well, the crowd was going nuts.
Oh, no, we wouldn't want to say glorifying violence.
Remember,
the face-off,
the American guy cross-checked the guy right in the face.
He cross-checked right in the face. The German guy got a stick, and he almost put it right through him. Well, the referee just
let it go. You want to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was a good time. They had... So anyhow, it should be a good NHL. They start August 2nd.
So let's go, Dad. We don't have to do them all, but let's do a couple of.
No, I do them all.
Who's going to win the first round?
Well, I'll tell you. Let's go. Leafs and Blue Jackets. Okay.
Okay.
Anderson cannot get off to a slow start the way he usually does, because to me, he's the best when he's on and when he's smoking. He is the best, but he always starts off slow because you know.
Five out of three. Yeah,
you're out, and you're out. Quit. So Anderson's got to get off. He cannot be like he usually does. And I still go the Leaf. I you wrote down a few things. I think it'd be good. I think that Anderson won 16 games, and to me, Anderson is one of the best when he's the best, and I know we're talking. And Corp Tassalo, is that how you said it?
The goalie, yeah.
He's the guy. It's the old story again. A hot goalie can win a series, especially in a slow series. So I'm picking Toronto on that one.
So there's a difference between who you think is going to win and who you're rooting for, because.
No, I'm rooting for Toronto.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
John Tortorella, all he does for.
No, I like John Tortorella, but I don't know.
Because I'm rooting for the Blue Jackets because he does a lot for pet rescue and pit bull rescues and the whole deal. So
yeah,
I take it one step further than just hockey. So
the one thing a lot of people are talking about, Dad, is that Tortorella won a Stanley Cup. He's up for the Coach of the Year, and Columbus was doing a lot better than they thought.
Well, let me tell you, Tortorella, the injuries he had, and to keep that team in contention is.
And all the guys they lost, Bobrovsky, which was probably a blessing, and some of the other guys.
He went to Florida. Was he glad to get rid of him? Anyhow.
But I'm just saying, Tortorella is coach, and Keefe.
And Keefe's never been.
He hasn't been in the playoff or, you know, been first year. Is that a big advantage for Columbus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of difference between coaching and the playoffs and the regular season. There's no doubt about it. The playoffs, especially a 3 out of 5. I mean, you lose the first game. It's pretty tough to make it back. So but I'm still taking Toronto because I like Toronto, and I have Toronto Maple Leafs on my truck, and I've grown up in Kingston, Ontario, as they know, as you should know, and Toronto. I used to get Quaker Oats all the time, and 8x10s after Quaker Oats. So I'm cheering for Toronto, and I know you're cheering for Columbus, eh? Because of Tortorella.
That's right.
I still think Toronto's going to win. If I was betting man, and I am a betting man, and I bet a lot, there's a lot of reasons if you look at it. But the big thing about that is that Anderson has got to be sharper than he usually is at the start. For some reason, every year he starts.
Takes him about a month to get going.
And once he gets going, he's the best.
Yeah.
But you're long gone if you don't. But I'm betting that Anderson realizes this.
I think the big, as we talked about before, I think one of the big thing is how the ref's going to call it. If they call a lot of penalties, I don't think Columbus has a chance.
No, they don't have a chance. And what really bothers me is about the referees. If they're ordered to call a lot of penalties, they're going to ruin the playoffs because, boy, it's a different world, the playoffs and a regular season. Believe me, I found that out quick, especially in the National Hockey League. I'm not saying they let it go, but by the time you get back to the finals, boy, it is really something. Yeah. It's war. But anyhow, I'm picking Toronto on that one, and I hope Toronto wins because I like Toronto.
Okay, so let's do the one that I think the people that we talked about before. With should we say the Habs and the Pens?
Well, If I'm betting, and I am a betting man, I used to be a betting man. I used to bet on everything. I used to bet on, and Jimmy Pappin used to be the guy. He used to go around and take all the bets and everything. If I was betting on an upset, this would be my upset, and I think I've given you the reason why. Montreal should go into the series thinking this is our last shot. And, you know, Carey Price is the guy should realize this is going to be his last shot at the Stanley Cup. Because what is he now, 31, 32?
Yeah, he's up there like that. Yeah.
He's making $10 million, and he never get traded. Not like Patrick Waugh. He won't get traded because nobody will take that $10 million. And he's playing good, but he's not playing Carey Price. This, if he ever turns into Carey Price, he can win the series by himself. So if I'm ever picking an upset, and you know how you like to throw in an upset and like that, that will be the upset of the playoffs.
Yeah, just a couple of stats just to kind of talk.
Yeah,
I know you don't like stats, but we'll give a couple of stats.
I don't like stats, but
But Carey Price on the road is 15-10-2. And you have to take, you can't take the home records. You got to take the road records because they're all on the road,
yeah,
right?
So let me just throw that in. Why I think Montreal plays better on the road is that the crowd is so good and so knows, you can't fool them. And I think when they get on the power play at home, they put pressure on them, you know, and they give them a hard time. So I won't interrupt again. Give us that.
Well, so Carey Price, he's 15-10-2 he's got the third most wins on the road. He's got the fifth best goals against average on the road, and he's got the sixth best save percentage on the road. And that's what you got to look at. You can't look at home. You got to look at it on the road. And Murray, he's kind of average on the road, and the Habs have the third best power play on the road.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And Pittsburgh is 24th in the league on penalty kills on the road.
So you
look at like, if you put your hand over Pittsburgh and Montreal,
yeah,
and you look at their away stats and you compared them, there's no choice that you
take. This is on the road. Remember, there's going to be no crowd to bug them So that should be interesting. That would be my upset.
That'll be upset.
That would be, if I was betting.
But there's the Crosby factor, so you never know.
Hey?
There's the Crosby factor. You might take them.
Yeah, and Malkin too.
Malkin.
And if Crosby ever takes a bit, as they say, in his mouth and goes. I remember one time they lost a game. This is a funny story. And I walked back with these two older people, and I said, I don't worry about it. I said Pittsburgh's going to win. I said, and they were really down. I'm just walking at Kathy Broderick's back of it. And he says, well, what? I said, Crosby. I says, watch him next game. I said, he'll be, don't worry about it. They were from, I don't know, I thought they were from Pittsburgh. So we couldn't get in the building. And she says, you know who that was you walked back with? I says, no, who was it? So it was Crosby's parents. And remember Crosby, the next game, the first shift, he got the puck. He went in and deked the guy and walked in and scored.
Yeah, I can't remember who. Was that the finals?
That was the final.
Finals, yeah.
Yeah, and they won it. And they won. I remember the first game, and he did. He took the. If he ever comes through, like he can come through. But if I was betting, that's the one I'd bet on, is Montreal and Pittsburgh.
Okay, who's next?
All right, I like the. And don't forget, I picked Tron. Yeah. That was the one I think I'm letting.
Here, I'll circle him so we'll see how.
No,
we do.
I got it.
So you're picking the Habs, and you're
Hold it. I'm picking the Habs with, I said an upset. I didn't say.
Well, you have to pick. Who's going to win? Straight up. Pittsburgh or Montreal?
With no odds?
No odds.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
With no odds.
No, but I'm just saying no odds. I'm just saying who's going to win. I'm thinking Montreal's going to beat them. That's going to be the upset. Because there's going to be upsets, and that's going to be the upset.
Money on the line makes all the
difference. No, I got to get odds. I mean, come on. I mean, one team doesn't make the playoffs and the other team is seventh in the league, and you're asking me who's going to win? I said an upset.
An upset.
Pittsburgh. Right. If you ask who's going to win the series, well, I'd say Pittsburgh's going to win the series because of Malkin and Crosby. How about the Canes and Rangers? This should be the no-hitting. This is what we used to call a Nolan Ryan a series.
Snooze fest.
No, I'd like to see anybody get hit in this series. Anyhow,
right, they'll be practicing social distancing on the ice.
Well, it's good skating, though. I mean, if you, I mean, Americans, they'll learn this.
If you like European hockey, it's a good epitome of that.
I'll bet New York Rangers on that one.
Yeah, they looks like they've won the series for nothing.
Yeah, they were four and nothing. Yeah. And
you know what's funny? Just looking
You know what scares me is that Giorgio or whatever his name is, the referee or the goaltender for New York has never been in the playoffs, really.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, when
Reimer's got a good record. Reimer for the Canes.
Yeah, you were saying something about Reimer. What was?
He's 10-4 on the road.
10-4. I mean, you know, it'll be so good. But I'll still pick Rangers because of their record 4-0, which is pretty good. And the Islanders and Panthers, that's a tough one. I like the Panthers. You know, they're in now. I'll pick the Islanders on that one.
Yeah, the Islanders seem they beat them 3-0. And again, this is the one thing that we say, Cindy, is that Bravosky's been so bad.
Yeah, and he's making $10 million, the highest pay. He's making the highest. He's the highest Florida guy being paid. Maybe he'll say if he ever reverts the way he was, you know, a couple of years ago. Again, it's the goaltenders that go. Maybe he can show them if he ever gets hot, he can win the series by himself. But maybe he's happy with the $10 million. Yeah. But I still will take the Islanders.
Yeah, the only problem, like looking at the things, the Islanders seem like to have a tough time scoring, but they're really good defensively. And if Bravosky gets hot, but you know, Joel Quenneville, they must just pull his hair out. Like he
can't say anything, man. You know, he's got the
yeah. Well, he knows how you feel with Hardy, right?
No, wait a minute. He's not as bad as Hardy.
No.
Hardy used to make me cry. Absolutely cry.
Okay, so now we're going to go out to the West.
Now let's go Oilers and Blackhawks.
Yep.
Oilers are sort of at home. We won't say they're at home, but they're at home.
They got a lot of positive vibes from Edmonton.
No,
right?
Power play guys. Got McDavid and Dreit. So I'll pick the Oilers on that one.
But you and I were talking. You said if Kane ever feels like playing.
Oh, boy.
And Taze gets on a roll. It's going to be tough because, you know, Kane can win a series by himself. But if he feels like playing, he might not feel like playing.
You know, I remember when he came, they bring about six guys down. And they go in the dressing room and they meet all the players, young guys.
This is when it's draft year.
Yeah, draft year. And they go in the dressing room, they meet all the players. The players are pretty good too. They got big stars and everything. And he came up, he was the first guy up. I swear I thought he was a stick boy or something. He's the thing of being small, but he wasn't thick or anything. And, you know, I played it like I knew what he. But boy,
so what? At you saw Mitch Marner, and you know, well, we watched him. Who was small?
Mitch Marner. He was tall. Mitch Marner is small.
Yeah.
But Patrick Kane, when he came in his first year, I said this guy is never going to last. I mean, you never hit him. You never notice. You know, never hit him. Sees you're going to hit him, he'll leave the puck, and he's never been hurt, and he is. When he feels like playing, boy, right. I hate to play against him. But sometimes he just doesn't play like playing.
Yeah. Do you think Edmonton will feel pressure playing in Edmonton, even though there's no fans?
No, they're pretty good at home. Their fans are pretty good. They don't give them a hard time. So I'm taking the Oilers on that one.
Okay.
And now Nashville and Arizona. This is a tough one because nobody knows. Nobody knows about these guys. Who cares?
Yeah, they'll say, "What are these guys in the league?"
Yeah, I would say, are they playing?
I'll tell you a story, a funny story. It wasn't funny. I thought it was funny at the time. I'd just been fired by Boston, and I was on Wolf Island, and I don't know where I was driving. I guess I was driving to Toronto, maybe to do the Grapevine show. But anyhow, I stopped and I got some gas at this Esso place, and gee, I'm very sorry, Don, and my boss was the guy was giving gas, a young kid, and I said, oh, yeah, well, you know, those things happen. He says, what are you doing next year? And I said, I'm coaching the Colorado Rockies. He says, are they in the National Hockey League? I never forgot. I thought that was funny. Little did I know.
Yeah.
Nashville, you know, the Kemper, that goalie out there,
Darcy Kemper.
He's got 10 wins. Darcy Tinker. Yeah, he's got 10 wins.
Yep.
And Rene, is that how you pronounce his name?
Pekka Rene.
Pekka Rene. He's never, ever, he starts off good, and then he dies on the hallway.
He always dies in the playoffs.
Yeah, he dies in the playoffs. But again, he might say, this is it. 3 out of 5. So I pick a Nashville on that one.
Yeah.
I guess Tockett, who I really like, is Tockett.
I'm picking Arizona as an upset. I just think that Darcy Kemper is going to pull it. His record's 10-4, and Pekka Rinne's is 8-6 on the road.
I know. Rene, I remember watching him in the playoffs. I thought he was really going to. He always dies in the playoffs. Always dies.
And lets in bad goals.
And goals that'll break your heart, like Hardy. Like you'd be riding along and doing a great job, and Hardy let in an easy goal, and that's what Rene does. So Rene does. That's what he does. And but I'm still picking Nashville, I think, Dave. And they've got. I don't know. That one's one I shouldn't do it against Tockett. I should, but I'll take Nashville.
Okay, Dad. Next we got Vancouver and Minnesota.
Well, again, Markstrom, if he's and he played good, and how you Stalock, is that how
Stalock,
you
Stalock? Yeah, Alan Stalock.
I like Markstrom. This is a pick'em. Vancouver had a better power play record on the road, but this won't be on the road. I'll pick Van on this one because Van Green is, even though he did when I got fired, he said that I shouldn't have said it. But I'll pick that one. I'll pick Van. That's a pick'em. That's a tough one.
Yeah. And now with the final one, I think will be the best series of all by far.
Yeah, it'll be the roughest.
Calgary and Winnipeg.
Paul Maurice has done a great job.
I think he should have been up for coach of the year.
Yeah, Jack Adams. I thought he'd be in there. I suppose you can't put four, but boy, all the injuries he had and the guys that left Bufflin and Myers and everything. Yeah. Rittich, how's he going to play in the playoffs? That is the difference. Now, he was great in the playoff. He was great in the regular season.
Yeah.
But somehow you bring up a guy like that, cold, Calgary brought him up, he plays better. But this is going to be, Hellebuck to me is the best goaltender. I had more shots on him. And if he's 100%, that is going to be tough because if he's 100%. But the big question here is Rittich is how he's going to play in the playoffs because, boy, this is going to be – this is going to be a rough series. Don't miss this one. This is going to be good. I don't know who to take.
It's kind of funny. Like those two teams meeting in the first round. It's kind of weird. Like, I think, geez, Winnipeg do not do that well, that they're that low in the standings that they're going to play Calgary. But, yeah, I think you're
right. They hate one another.
Yeah. And, it's...
I can't pick that one. That's a tough one.
I'm going to pick Winnipeg because of Hellebuck. I mean, I think that he's Rittich is he's played well all year and all that stuff, but Hellebuck in the playoffs, he really steps it up.
I can't pick that one. That was if you try to pick that one, all I know is that Maurice I thought should have been considered for a coach, the honorary or something like that.
Yeah. So, well, Dad, I think that's good. We kind of get over and got your picks. We'll see how it goes. It's only about 2 weeks before it starts, and maybe next week we'll take a look at some of the who's up for the awards in the NHL.
I think the best goaltender, Rask and
Rask, Hellebuck, and Vasilevskiy from Tampa.
I don't see how you can't pick Hellebuck for that one. I know. Yeah.
Well, we'll go. We'll talk about these guys next week because there's still. I think there's two more.
Yeah.
To be nominated.
Yeah,
this
I'll go over them all and see. That the coach of the year is going to be tough. I always look at coach of the year. Now remember, the coach of the year is who. What coach gets the most out of his team, and not the winning team, but what coach does the best coaching job?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back next week.
And good luck, Nick.